There was a boy called Eustace Clarence Scrub, and he almost deserved it. His parents called him Eustace Clarence, and his teachers called him Scrub. I can't tell you how his friends spoke to him, for he had none. He didn't call his father and mother father or mother, but Harold and Alberta. They were very up-to-date, advanced people. They were vegetarians, non-smokers, and teetotalers, and wore a special kind of underclothes. Now, up to that point, I thought they might have been Unitarian Universalists, but in their houses, there was very little furniture and very few clothes on beds, and the windows were always open. Eustace Clarence liked animals, especially beetles, if they were dead and pinned on a card. He liked books if they were books of information and had pictures of grain elevators or of fat foreign children doing exercises in model schools. Eustace Clarence disliked his cousins, Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy, but he was quite glad when he heard that Edmund and Lucy were coming to stay. For deep down inside of him, he liked bossing and bullying. And though he was a puny little person who couldn't have stood up even to Lucy, let alone Edmund, in a fight, he knew that there are a dozen of ways to give people a bad time if you are in your own home and they are only visitors. One story is what we make of it. Eustace Clarence Scrub is a character in the children's series that I read as an adult called The Chronicles of Narnia. Has anybody ever read The Chronicles of Narnia? Oh, great set of books. He starts out clearly being a very challenging boy, and throughout the story he gets himself into the worst types of situations imaginable by making the worst possible decisions, so much so like befriending a wicked queen because she had sugary sweets, to isolating himself from the people that most cared about him, that wanted to help. His cousins, Lucy and Edmund, are beside themselves, wanting to protect him, but Eustace feels like he doesn't really need them. He believes that he has fallen into the best possible scenario, until, of course, he realizes that he's really a prisoner and he is being used and manipulated. This is a story that we have heard a million times, all over the world in different languages, a story where one decision starts us down a path that is hard to even imagine the outcome of. There are twists and turns, peaks and valleys that make our hearts race and our heads spin. As the story draws to a close, Scrub learns a deep lesson, and he ultimately redeems himself. Of course. What we learn from tales such as this is that we have the opportunity in a single act to change the outcome of our story. Scrub realizes this, and he learns to be a better boy, to appreciate and love his cousins. And as the reader, we see struggle and the transformation that he undergoes, that he lives through. Some would say that this type of happy ending is only possible in children's books and Disney movies, but I disagree. For I believe that ultimately we are the masters of our own destiny. No matter what we might believe about our stories, individually or collectively, we can and do have at our disposal the opportunity for a rewrite if we dare to imagine another way of being, if we can imagine transformation. This is a unique perspective in a religious spiritual community. For those who are new here, would I be kidding you about that? Many religions believe that humankind's story is predetermined, filled with original sin, that we are only here to serve. But Unitarian Universalism has been evolving since the early 1800s, and we have come to a different conclusion. More about that in a moment. Before entering the ministry, I had a different life. At one point, I worked with the Disney Corporation. Seems like a bazillion years ago, but working with them helped me to realize that there is magic in this world and that people are committed to realizing it and to sharing it. The creatives at Disney had a title for those of us who believed in magic and transformation. We were called Imagineers. And what we did was called Imagineering. Imagine it. I was and am only one of many. And what I believe in my life and in my ministry is that we each have the power within us to tap into, to create, and to share the magic of life. Is it Morse code? Am I getting a message? It is most helpful to be an Imagineer when you are facing a difficult situation. Terry is the man behind the woman in every sort of way. And when we're in those difficult situations, we want so desperately to be out of it. Has anybody been in one of those situations? Where you just, it's like your skin's crawling, right? What does one do? Grin and bear it? Fantasize about making a change? Or someone, something else changing? It is in that moment that we have the power to reimagine, rewrite our story, and to project our intention forward to cultivate a better life. Thank you, Terry. Here's how it works. When we imagine a different scenario, the universe, believe me, I'm an Imagineer, and everyone whom we talk to, tell our story to, collude to help us cultivate the desired results. Oh, some people I know are sitting there going, what? No way. But I have to say that even the way that one looks at our current reality changes. It doesn't happen overnight, but one day at a time, we get to a different place of being just by telling our story, just by having someone else listen. It's not magic. We don't just wave a wand or wiggle our nose, which I cannot do. And we are there. We live into our desired story, face into the struggle and challenges, but remember that we are the master of our destiny. And it helps us to cultivate a new way of being to know that. It begins with daring to share our stories with one another and sharing our hopes and our dreams as well. Add to that a pinch of hope and some belief in ourselves and our connection with others, and voila. It's like magic. Has anybody ever experienced that? You tell your story and then all of a sudden somebody goes, oh yeah, I have a friend who has a company that I know is hiring. And then all of a sudden you are going for an interview and you have a different job. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. It's magic. It's just sharing things with one another. But here's my real question for you this morning. Do we take the time to think about and to share our stories? And why is it so important to own, honor, and cultivate them? Telling our stories is not an end in itself, but an attempt to release ourselves from them, to evolve and grow beyond them. We tell our stories to transform ourselves, to learn about our history, and tell our experiences to transcend them, to use our stories to make a difference in our world, to broaden our perspective, to see further than normal, to act beyond a story that may have imprisoned or enslaved us, to live more of our spiritual and earthly potential. Joan Borisenko said, "We cannot wish old feelings away, nor do spiritual exercises for overcoming them, until we have woven a healing story that transforms our previous life's experiences and given meaning to whatever pain we have endured." What pain we have endured. I don't know about you, but I am a princess. You see, there are some of us in this world who are truly the lucky ones. Maybe our life is a fairy tale story. We are born a prince or princess, and we wore glass slippers or live in a castle, and we want life to remain just like this, in our wonderful sameness. We just don't want anything to change. here's the rub. Everything changes. That is what Buddhism teaches us, that everything in the world is temporary, and to clutch at our lives, desperately hanging on, only causes one suffering. That is what the teaching is. That if we clutch and are desperate to make everything the same always, we're destined to suffer. To evolve as a human being, we need those changes and those challenges to grow mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. If everything was absolutely perfect every day things were just perfect, can we imagine what that would be like? No hills to climb, no curves to hold on to, no drama and excitement. How would there ever be any kind of transformation? How would we transcend the mundane of our lives? It would be safe, but is that what life is supposed to be? Safe. I was raised a Catholic. Some of us were raised as Jews or pagans or without religious belief at all. There are a few among us that were raised Unitarian and or Universalist. They will confirm that this faith has changed over the years. Am I right about that? Yes. Our hymnal bears the truth about our faith, right on the cover. We are part of a living tradition, an evolving tradition that changes as we change. Because what we realized in the beginning of the 18th century is that because Unitarian Universalism is actually a reflection of who we are, not the other way around. So our faith is a reflection of who we are. For those of us who were not born UU, what is the story that has brought us to this place of seeking? How did we find our way here? For those of us who grew up in this faith, what has kept us here? Maybe it is the open and affirming religious education for our children. Maybe we faced a crisis in our lives that has brought us to this place of seeking deeper personal understanding or support on our journey. Maybe we wanted to find other almost like-minded people who have a social understanding and a conscience. In the early 1800s, this building was filled with good, God-fearing Christians. Lori just said, that's right. Religion was a town-run affair, and it was fairly mandatory to attend on a Sunday. Like Vale, she wouldn't be sitting home having breakfast in bed this morning. Oh, no, she wouldn't. And I hope you listen to this, Vale. Although, by God, she does deserve it, quite certainly. Everybody had to come, and everybody paid taxes towards the privilege of having someone stand up in front of you for hours and hours preaching the word about sin, about predestination, until a few very open-minded, amazing men and women said no. I think of Ralph Waldo Emerson, William Ellery Channing, Theodore Parker. They dared to change our story. They dared to say, no. They were transcendentalists who believed that humankind held a spark of the divine within, and that Jesus was in fact a man who may have been the Son of God, but not so much God, and not any more than we are all daughters and sons of God. As Unitarian Universalists, it is our responsibility to evolve through stirring and tending that crucible of humankind. And even though we are all different and hold different beliefs, or our specificity, I knew I was going to do that, specificity is truly welcome. We are welcome to bring our uniqueness to bear in this community. I love this, and I love how people come up to me and they say, okay, Marjorie, but someone recently, and you know who you are, asked me, Well, yes, we say that we're welcoming to all people to bring their whole selves, but is that really true? Then followed up jokingly, laughing, smirking. I mean, really, can we welcome Republicans? Insert laughter here. Clearly, I didn't need to. Here is the kicker, my friends. Not only do we welcome Republicans or transgendered people or poor or lost or lonely or antisocial, I hope that each one will feel safe enough in this community to share who they truly are wholeheartedly. We all have a lot to learn from one another. Unitarian Universalism has evolved significantly since the 1800s, and at times it was very painful. And here is a truth: we will continue to evolve. It is being a Unitarian Universalist to evolve. It's part of our story. And if not, why not? You have found your way here for whatever reason, your why. The question is, will you allow yourself to be affected? How? And by what? Maybe we have an experience that changes us quickly, like marriage or having children. It changes you overnight, right? Or maybe our transformation is gradual and subtle, like aging. Or maybe we jump in with both feet, or maybe we carefully wade in towards the deep end. Or maybe even the universe shoves us boldly into situations that we would never travel into of our own volition. Here is the challenge. Be an Imagineer. Be pliable, daring, and willing to evolve, and we will be the masters of our destiny. A writer of our story instead of one who feels afraid of change, moved around the board like a pawn. This is our story to cultivate, our story to tell. We tell our stories in a million different ways, through memoir, short story, poem, in therapy, write a movie. The key here is that we dare to share our stories at all with one another, and are willing to change by the experience, the telling. For we each own a piece of a much larger puzzle. Think about it. Each one of you is a unique little piece in a much larger puzzle. And that puzzle, we can only solve together. That is why it's critical that we are truly welcoming of all who enter these doors, all whom we meet in this wide world. Imagine what our communities might be like, what the world might be like. Could we learn to honor one another, to grow with one another? And if we were to take this message and bring it out into the world and teach it, how would the world be different? Most differences are only skin deep or belief deep. They may be political, they may be gender, sexual orientation, cultural beliefs or practices, socioeconomic, or the expanse of how you want to differentiate yourself from one another. When we stop, look, and truly see one another and listen regardless of station and identity, we are only experiencing a small piece of what is sacred in this reality of ours. We are glimpsing a holy spark in the darkness of a vast constellation of universes. We are looking into a multitude of what might just be considered to be the essence of spirit itself. In closing, I share a poem, A Living Experience, by Rumi, the Sufi poet. It's called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still treat each guest honorably. They may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door, laughing, and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. May we be imagineers of our lives. May we be truly affected. That is what living should all be about. For this we pray. May it be so. Amen.